Back America, Hugh Hewitt. More on Lawrence O'Donnell after the break, but I'm joined now by Michael Rubin, senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, expert on both Iran and North Korea. Michael Rubin, today North Korea announced it was no longer going to honor the 1953 armistice and that war is imminent, blah, blah, blah. What should we make to these extreme statements from North Korea?
Well, first of all, we've got to take them very, very seriously. On one hand, North Korea is always full of bluster. On the other hand, they oftentimes do act on their bluster. If you remember back in 1983, they tried to assassinate the entire South Korean cabinet at a summit meeting in Burma. Then in 1987, they, while everyone was all gung-ho about reconciliation at the time of the Olympics, they blew up a South Korean passenger jet. There's been incidents with U.S. naval vessels. There has been an incident in which they beached, at the height of diplomacy, they beached a submarine and launched commandos into South Korea. The fact of the matter is, North Korea is a very close society. We don't know what's going on there, but we do know that they're both dangerous and most certainly a nuclear power.
So how should, if you were advising President Obama, Secretary of State Clinton on how to react, what's your advice?
The first thing we've got to do is not give an inch on our commitment to South Korea. Whenever we have signals that we do not take seriously our commitment to South Korea, North Korea acts. Indeed, when the Korean War broke out in 1950, it was after, I believe, General MacArthur said that Japan was important, the Philippines were important, Korea less so, and the communists in that case saw this as a green light to enter. What we've got to do is make sure that our Patriot batteries are in South Korea, that we are prepared to act. One of the issues which we should consider, and we may see in the next few days, is actually the removal of some of our troops, not from South Korea, but southward, so that they're outside of immediate artillery range should North Korea decide to strike.
Now, in terms of preemptive action militarily, Michael Rubin, anyone advising that? It was considered in 1994 by the Clinton administration prior to the agreement brokered by Jimmy Carter, and at the time, estimates ranged about 1 million casualties. Do you think anyone still talks about such things?
Well, this is one of the problems which we have. When, at the time of the Jimmy Carter visit back in, I think it was late 1993, early 1994, this is after the situation was about as dire as it is now. The North Koreans had broken off negotiations and threatened to turn South Korea and Seoul, its capital, into a sea of fire. Now, what we did in response to that didn't work. We canceled the Team Spirit military exercises that the United States holds every year with South Korea. We agreed to subsidize North Korea, their fuel, oil. We agreed to build them nuclear reactors, and we now know it's become apparent that they've been cheating the whole time. So while we do not want to push to war, I'd argue that in this case, the best way to avoid war is to show overwhelming strength and commitment, because many people, many of the proponents of diplomacy, say North Korea doesn't want to. Its regime isn't suicidal. It's not going to push the envelope too far. But the other conclusion is, if they don't think we are serious about defending South Korea, they most certainly will push too far. And if they underestimate our resolve, then we very much may find ourselves in a situation like this. With regard to the 1 million casualty figure, where this comes from is the fact that Seoul, the capital of South Korea, is quite close to the North Korean border and well within the artillery range of the North Korean missiles and artillery and so forth. Now, we have stationed Patriot batteries in South Korea now, but there's no doubt that basically in a time of war or North Korean aggression, South Korea would take the brunt of the casualties just because you're basically launching missiles from a very rural area into a densely packed urban area that has no place to go.
So what, Michael Rubin, as people assess this, what's the likelihood of that kind of major confrontation on the Korean Peninsula?
Well, the fact of the matter is it's happened before. That's number one. Number two, it's hard to put odds on this because no one can put odds on what the heck North Korea is thinking and North Korean behavior. But the problem is, if only one out of every 50 crises escalates to war, you're still risking the lives of millions of people. So, I mean, basically, we've got to be prepared. And at this point, North Korea seems to be challenging us again and again. They're saying, for example, that they will attack our ships defending disputed waters, basically the maritime border with South Korea. If we give an inch, they will take a mile. They've already shown this with their disregard for the agreed framework. If I may just add one other thing, because you did bring him up before, Jimmy Carter, I would most certainly hope that President Carter doesn't really show his face right now, because he does have a lot to answer for in his advocacy for the North Korean regime and for actually urging the North Korean regime, South Korea, to ignore North Korean violations, in his advocacy saying that North Korea wasn't cheating on its nuclear program and so forth. It really is shameful.
Michael Rubin, last question. The White House has said we're not going to overreact. Hillary Clinton has said we're not going to, that they're going to suffer some isolation from this. But yet the six-party talks haven't been suspended. I'll talk to John Bolton about this at the end of my third hour today. What should the White House be publicly saying?
Well, there's no doubt that we should be publicly imposing as many sanctions as possible. Most certainly, we should not be subsidizing either the North Korean energy program. Everyone who said that the North Korean nuclear program was motivated by civilian energy needs, is just absolutely wrong and should be chastised. And those who say the same thing about Iran should take note. That's number one. Number two, we should not be subsidizing any food into North Korea, because what's become apparent is North Korea takes that food and delivers it to its military while people continue to starve. We have a real problem because the North Korean regime isn't necessarily rational. We don't know that the North Korean leader is really in charge ever since he had a stroke last year. So we're basically dealing with a black box, and a nuclear black box at that.
Michael Rubin from AEI, thank you again. Always informative. I'll be right back on The Hugh Hewitt Show.